Good afternoon. I'm Susan Zesch, Executive Director of the Human Rights Program, and I'm very pleased to welcome you all to the teach-in to honor the 60th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. We have a very full program this afternoon and evening. We've set up the program so that people can drop in and leave when they need to. We decided we wanted it in this relatively informal setting. But the informality of the setting doesn't mean that we aren't about some serious business here. I think the primary mission of the Human Rights Program at the University of Chicago has been to integrate human rights into a liberal arts education, to create among our students a sense of global citizenship. So I'd like to welcome you all and introduce Professor Michael Geyer, who is the faculty director of the Human Rights Program.
So let's begin with our teach-in with a note that I got only yesterday, that the teach-in as a forum was in fact invented by one of our very own. You didn't know that, I didn't know that either. It is Marshall Sahlins, testified by congressional, verified by congressional record, who invented the form of the teach-in in 1965, obviously in competition with Berkeley. And there is, as always, a competition who invented the cheese, but let's assume our very own faculty and colleague was it. We are celebrating today, and it should be a celebration, I think, the adoption of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights by the United Nations General Assembly, which happened on December 10, 1948. We are a bit early. But obviously, in a month, you won't be here anymore, so we should celebrate when everybody's still here. This declaration was affirmed by then 49 states, no state opposed, but 8 states abstained, and those 8 were the Soviet Union and its allies. However, the Soviet Union, as it turned out, was probably then in the subsequent 2 decades a somewhat more eager propagandist of human rights than, surprisingly, the United States, the country you'd expect to highlight and inform the global human rights discourse. Well, about this history we will learn in a minute. Suffice it to say, the celebration is about a declaration, and nothing but a UN declaration, that proves to be remarkably sturdy, that it has survived 60 years, which is a long time in international politics. It has survived and has proven to be remarkably universal, although nobody really expected this declaration to be anything close to universal, because it was essentially signed or ratified by a number of key Western powers, with a few others, a few new states coming in, but still it is a declaration at the height of the Cold War, written and affirmed at the height of the Cold War, and still in the age of colonial empire. Basically, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights has survived all that and is flourishing today, although it is not unchallenged, and it is certainly challenged not just out there in the world, but very much so in the United States as well. So this is also, it's a moment of celebration, but it is also a moment of rededicating, in many ways, an American political and not least an academic agenda, teaching and educating human rights. And I think there is no better person to give an introductory, give us some introductory remarks than Tom Rosenbaum, the provost of the university, and James T. Wilson, distinguished service professor in physics. He is, as you can discern from his website, apart from being provost of the university, an expert in quantum mechanical nature of materials, with many honors and awards. Now, it is kind of significant that we have a natural scientist speaking here, opening this teaching, because in fact we have quite a few colleagues from across the aisle, from the natural sciences, from across the midway, that is in the professional schools, and from across that ditch out west that separates us from the medical school. There is some invisible ditch there that is hard to cross. In any case, we have faculty from and students from all parts of the university actively engaged in the human rights program and actively engaged, of course, in supporting and thinking about a human rights agenda. So, Tom, please.
Well, it's a great pleasure to be here. I was at IBM Watson Laboratories in New York 25 years ago as a visiting scientist. And at the same time, Mark Asbel, who was one of the Soviet dissidents, physicists, along with Sharansky and Orlov, who were thrown in jail because of their protests against the human rights conditions in the Soviet Union. He had just been let out, emigrated to Israel, which was the demand of the physicists at that time, and was spending 6 months, as I was, at Yorktown Heights. And I had written a book called Refusnik, which actually is well worth reading, which I had read at that time. And so I would have the opportunity to chat with him. And one of the things he did when he was spending long times in jail was to refuse to answer any questions they asked him. So they'd ask, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And he just wouldn't, because he was afraid, I suppose, that anything he said would be twisted in a way that would prevent him from ever going out. And I asked him, well, how did you know to do this? You know, how did this strategy evolve? What were the societal conditions, so on and so forth? And he said, he just knew. It was the only way to do it. It was just obvious. And, you know, I would sit there sort of in bafflement, trying to understand, you know, how do you get to this point? How do you deal with a situation in a society where you're thrown into conditions where you're not trained, where your usual expectations of what you can and can't do aren't fulfilled? And it struck me that there are a few people like Asbel who just know how to do this, who have the moral courage to do it, but also just know how to answer that sort of call. And it is, in fact, in the Declaration of Human Rights that Michael talked about the primary role of teaching and education about rights and freedoms. And in fact, that's what we can do here at this university and have done powerfully through the human rights program here, is to in fact teach, to educate, to probe, to understand what are the conditions that cause these sorts of circumstances, and also how do individuals like Asbel react, what can we learn to teach people, hopefully to prevent the conditions that cause this situation, but also how to react, how to think about themselves as individual actors in a society or in a world which has a long way to go. I think the University of Chicago is a special place in this way. Didn't realize we had founded, or Marshall had founded, the teach-in, but certainly in terms of our interdisciplinary approach, and Michael talked about the participation of academics from all disciplines in terms of human rights studies. It's one of the great strengths of the universities. I think it's also one of the glories of this subject, if you will, in terms of intellectual endeavor. We stand out that way. And I think we also stand out in our singular way of thinking about theory and practice. And I think under Susan's leadership, we've certainly gotten to a point with the Human Rights Program where we really see the interaction between scholarly activity and hands-on activity in the field, placing interns around the world, holding conferences where we bring together people who have these different sorts of perspectives to try to synthesize approaches. So I look forward to the activities today in this fine tradition. Thank you for attending, and also am happy and even relieved to turn over the microphone to someone who actually knows about the history and the activities of the Human Rights Program and the Declaration.